from KQED.
Many Californians hit 65 in bad shape. After a lifetime of poverty, or simply one spent sans health insurance, they often enter the last stage of life with uncontrolled chronic illnesses. At 65, the government steps in with two types of coverage for these folks, Medicare and Medicaid. But the two programs don't always sync up coherently, as Sarah Varney reports.
Health policy wonks have a term for those covered by both Medicare and Medicaid. They call them medi-medis, and their potential for busting state and federal budgets is enormous. While they make up just 16% of beneficiaries, they account for more than a third of all Medicare spending and 40% of Medicaid spending. Of course, some of those higher costs are to be expected. Some medi-medis have suffered debilitating strokes and live in nursing homes. Others have multiple chronic illnesses. And yet, Medicare and Medicaid are often at odds with each other, setting conflicting Kafkaesque rules that drive costs up even more. Marty Lynch constantly has to deal with those conflicting rules. He runs Lifelong Medical Care, a group of health clinics in Berkeley and Oakland.
There's really very little coordination between the different kinds of care that a person needs.
You might need to draw a flowchart to understand this next part. Medicare pays for most medical care, like doctor's visits, hospital stays, and prescription drugs. But it doesn't cover nursing home stays or the kind of care many seniors need at home, like help getting out of bed, bathing, and cooking. That's paid for by Medicaid. Medicaid fills in other gaps as well. It covers copays, over-the-counter drugs, and certain medical equipment. But here's the real messy part. The federal government runs and pays for Medicare 100%. A doctor's bill goes straight to Washington. But Medicaid? The states pay half the bill, and the federal government pays the other half. So the programs are constantly at war, says Lynch, each trying to stick the other with the check.
Medicaid state people will see, well, if we can shift that cost to Medicare, it's less that we're spending, and everybody knows that the state is in a lot of states are in real difficult financial situation. The feds, on the other hand, they're happy to shift a few costs over to Medicaid because the state pays part of that.
And that tug of war can lead to some perverse incentives. For example, Medicaid doesn't pay nursing homes extra when their patients get sick. So what do? They're often quick to send patients to the hospital who don't need that level of care because Medicare will pick up the tab. There is a sense, though, that logic may finally prevail in Wonderland. As part of the health law, a new federal office is now cataloging the many inconsistencies that irk patients and providers alike. The list is a long one.
Actually, I'm looking at it right now. It's about 15 pages and growing, very small font, 8-point font.
Sharon Donovan runs the federal effort to make the programs easier and cheaper to run. She says one proposal is to give states the authority and money to administer Medicare, in addition to the Medicaid programs they run now. States could then contract with managed care plans to provide both Medicare and Medicaid services and sort out the bills. Toby Douglas, who oversees California's Department of Healthcare Services, sees great promise in the idea.
That would better align the incentives to provide more preventive care, keep individuals out of an institution, and ideally drive down the cost that would result in savings to both the state and the federal government.
These kinds of plans already exist on a limited basis in California, but they're cumbersome to run and financially perilous. One that's had some success is the Inland Empire Health Plan, a nonprofit that covers about 4,500 mostly disabled people in Southern California. CEO Brad Gilbert says the plan essentially gets one lump payment to provide all medical, mental health, and home care, so they take a case management approach to each patient.
We're developing a brand new program where we're going to have social workers and nurses contact the members in the hospital, see them in their home, and really make sure that they've got everything they need post-discharge. Because you know what happens is they get discharged, they don't have the medications, they don't have the supplies they need. Guess what? They're right back in the hospital.
Still, there is widespread fear among providers and advocates that states could misappropriate the funds. Karen Davenport, Director of Health Policy for the Center for American Progress, says there would need to be strict safeguards.
So that you're not looking at states which are facing a lot of budget issues using, you know, Medicare money to replace what they would have been spending otherwise through the Medicaid program.
But Davenport and others say fixing what's wrong with the dueling systems of Medicare and Medicaid can't simply be about moving money around. Instead, they insist it will require retooling a disjointed delivery system and making sure no one gets left behind. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
Millions of baby boomers start turning 65 this year. If you or someone you love is about to become eligible for federal health care benefits, don't be daunted by what you just heard. Head online to californiareport.org and look for the link to Health Dialogues.